You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. These are trying times for cities in Michigan. Big cuts in state revenue sharing, real estate values that cratered during the economic meltdown. On top of all that, proposal A in the Headley Amendment limits local municipalities' ability to collect taxes. The result? A lot of communities say they're out of options. They can't cut any deeper, and they can't raise the money needed to provide basic services. My next guest has come up with a possible solution. It's a legal toolbox, we'll call it. It lets cities band together and put up a millage to pay for those services. Two cities in southeast Michigan have done this, Hazel Park and East Point. And more are taking a closer look at this toolbox, including Wayne, where in August voters will decide whether to join up with East Point and Hazel Park. Michael McGee is Principal and Chief Executive Officer of Miller Canfield. His special area of expertise is public finance. Full disclosure, we note Miller Canfield represents East Point and Wayne. Mike McGee, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks, Cynthia. Happy to be here.
Take us a little more deeply into really this kind of perfect storm of a financial dilemma that cities in Michigan face.
Well, I think your description was very apt. Michigan is, as a state, a little bit of an outlier in terms of how it structures local government finance and the extent to which it supports or doesn't support local governments in terms of finance. And this has been an issue really for it's been talked about, I think, most seriously for the last 15 years or so. But it's really been the result of, honestly, 50 years of state policies going back to the 60s. It's not a partisan issue in particular. Governors of both parties, legislatures of both parties have executed on the policy. And candidly, the policy has been very successful. If the goal was to constrain the growth of local government revenues, that has happened. So we are at this point where there is a perfect storm. And what you see in Wayne and what you see in other places is perhaps not a perfect solution. I might call it more than a Band-Aid, maybe a tourniquet to try to help. The tool that they are using is one tool. There are tools in the toolbox in Michigan. But I think for your listeners, the core idea is how you let in, that we have a municipal finance system in this state that is fundamentally unsustainable, and we'll have these little fixes that'll help for a period of time, but long run, we have to do something about it.
And we see cities, I've read about fire departments holding bake sales so they could buy a new rig, and you can only cut so much, and then the muscle and the fat's gone, and you're cutting into the bone, and what's left?
That's right. You have, I mean, most of the stuff, the easy stuff for local governments, and I'm focusing primarily on cities, villages, townships, counties. So on the local government side, all of the easy stuff to cut has pretty much been cut. You look at the reductions in workforce, you know, so what's the first place you look?
Pink slip
people. Right. Yeah. You just let's get a little bit more lean. Let's be a little bit more efficient and all that. So the workforce is down. I think statewide for all local governments since 2008, round numbers, it's about 20% down. I mean, that's a pretty significant drop. You know, in Wayne, prior to this proposal, it's more significant than that. So you look at people, you look at benefit packages, pensions have been restructured and reduced, healthcare copays, or the traditional provision of a defined type of healthcare benefit. Largely contracted away, doing things jointly. Can you work together more? Yep, people try to do that. Can you outsource more? Yep, people try to do that. So all those things have been done by most people, including in the case we're talking about.
Yes, yeah.
And that sort of demonstrates the unsustainability of the system. Even doing all of that, you have a great number of communities in this state that are still in very significant financial distress. And one manifestation of that is if you look at the number of communities that are close to or have been in the state's emergency management regimen, which has been around since 1988, if you look at the 20-year period of experience of that program, you've had 14 local governmental units that have fallen within it over that period of time. Well, 13 of the 14 have been since 2008. There are some repeaters that have been in more than once. But the point is, you can kind of see the result of the systemic issue. You can graph it.
Yeah.
And we're going to see more of this unless we're able to make a systemic change. Now, what these communities are doing, what Wayne is doing, is taking advantage of a part of the toolbox. Michigan is actually quite generous in terms of its allowing intergovernmental activities of various kinds. And that goes back to our Constitution. In 63, there was a big debate over whether we're going to have metropolitan type of government as in Indiana or Minnesota or not. And the policy conclusion was, no, we don't want to go down that route. But as a compromise or as an alternative, we're going to be very generous in terms of authorizing the legislature to adopt statutes which permit local governments to cooperate. Okay. So the legislature has done that. We probably have 6 or 8 principal statutes that allow people to collaborate for various things. And a
so
lot
these
of
are
it,
all laws yep. on the books. This is not loopholes.
Not loopholes. This is, all laws on the yeah. books. Let's provide water and sewer jointly. Let's provide the fire service jointly. Let's provide all kinds of things, mm-hmm. transportation jointly. The legislature and the statutes encourage that. And this is one. This statute that Wayne, Hazel Park, and East Point are doing has been on the books about 20 years. It is one of the more flexible statutes, which is an advantage in this case. It does provide, with voter approval, the ability to levy a property tax to support the emergency services, and that's the proposal that'll be on the ballot in the cities in the primary.
And I want to back up. So sure. we've already seen Hazel Park and East Point, cities that do not share a border, cities in different counties, but they have banded together to form the South Macomb-Oakland Regional Services Authority using this toolbox. What has this meant for these cities?
I would say if you talk to them, they would say that it's meant the difference between possibly having to go into that state emergency regimen versus being able to continue to provide services that their communities and their public wants. Both of the managers, and they have good managers in both cities, Steve Duchesne in East Point and Ed Klobuchar in Hazel Park, these are two really professional people. They've worked hard to balance their budgets at the same time providing good service to the taxpayers. For them to have access to this tool has allowed them to provide what, I mean, let's face it, this is the core thing that cities are supposed to do is police and fire service, emergency service. Mm-hmm. So they've been able to maintain those services, upgrade them. A lot of this stuff has been allowed to depreciate in a lot of places over time, so they've been able to renew some of the equipment and so on, put people up to proper staffing forces, and provide the service, and still balance the budget. So, I mean, that's ultimately
key.
The big thing.
And yeah. now Wayne is looking, going, you know what? Sounds like a pretty good idea.
They are, and I think I would say Wayne is otherwise pretty much out of options. One thing that is generous about this statute is that ability to authorize a local tax if the voters approve. Many of the statutes do not provide that kind of authority. So this one's a little bit different in that regard, and it's very helpful. In Wayne's case, all the metrics we talked about a few minutes ago about local governments being under stress have been more so for Wayne. It's a small community. Therefore, it has a very heavily residential component of their tax base, not quite so much commercial and industrial.
So when property taxes cratered, that hit them?
That hit them particularly hard. All the communities that were heavily weighted toward residential took a particularly significant hit, and Wayne was one of them. Their largest taxpayer, which is a great company we all know well, they make cars, and has been a very good partner with the city for a long time, is not at the same level of tax support as they've been in the past. So the city's been hit by that. And, of course, the reduction in state revenue sharing, as with everyone, has hurt them. So they have done everything, I think, that's reasonable and available to them. And so now they want to turn to the voters and ask the voters what direction they'd like to go.
And that would happen in August. And if the voters say yes, then they would join with East Point and Hazel Park as part of this South Macomb-Oakland Regional Services Authority that would now have a Wayne County component.
That's correct.
Is this
That's
being correct. Done, Mike, elsewhere in Michigan, or is this kind of, are these cities breaking ground?
I don't know that there's one exactly like this in the sense that you've got communities in 3 different counties. Of these Act 57 authorities, I'm going to say there are probably a dozen or so of them around the state, so they're not particularly new. And there are other statutes in that toolbox that we talked about that allow for collaborative provision of police and fire. So doing police and fire together is actually pretty common. That's not what's unusual about this. I think what's unusual about this is the idea of necessity being the mother of invention. If you are a community like an East Point or like a Hazel Park or like a Wayne that has been particularly affected by the systemic changes, you know, everybody's been affected. There's not one community in Michigan that hasn't been affected. Some have been affected, you know, a little bit more and a little bit less. I had one municipal consultant say at a meeting I was at recently that every community in Michigan is on the same track, and the track runs to the edge of the cliff, and then you fall off the cliff. And everybody's on that track. It's a question of where you are on it. Some communities are a little bit closer to the edge, so they're trying to do something to stop the inexorable progression toward the end of the track. But everybody's facing the same thing. So what they're doing here is trying to take advantage of a tool, been on the books for 20 years, quite routinely used in some contexts as a way to do the responsible thing, I think.
But as you say, this is a tourniquet.
It's not the deep fix.
And I have to wonder your thoughts. I mean, the Headley Amendment from 78, Proposal A from 1994.
Right.
Seemed like, to voters at the time, pretty good idea. But here we are in 2016, post-recession. Are they doing more harm than good?
Well, I think they've had, I wouldn't put it that way, other than they're having a consequence that was not foreseen. That's certainly true. And really, if you go back to 1964 was when the legislature first took a step to limit in a significant way the ability of cities to raise their own revenue by saying, henceforth, you're going to rely just on property tax, nothing else but for, there is an opportunity for income tax in some places, but for the most part, you're going to rise or fall with the property tax. Michigan's a little unusual in limiting so severely the sources of tax that a local government might use. But okay, so we're going to use the property tax. Headley and Proposal A were both adopted at a time when values and rates were going up dramatically. So the problem was how to limit what looked like explosive and in some circles maybe looked like excessive growth. Let's put a brake on the top of it because these things are just going up too fast. So,
and voters said amen.
Amen, because taxes were going up typically in many places greater than the rate of inflation. So Headley limits the rate and Proposal A limits the increase in the value. And it's a very, very effective, as it was intended to be, very effective brake on increases in property taxes when values are going up. Nobody ever really conceived of a situation where values are going to drop 30% in a year and a half. So once they fall that much, then you put that brake back in effect as things improve in the economy as they have. You know, jobs are a little bit better. Incomes have started to grow. Stocks, the market has grown back up.
Those brakes are still on.
And there's nothing, because they're constitutional brakes, it's not something that the legislature can very easily fix. That's where these communities are. They're really not sharing in the recovery at all.
If you were a physician writing a prescription for what is ailing the municipalities of Michigan, what would that be?
Well, I think in the short to midterm, the sorts of things that Wayne and others are doing to address the near-term problem, that's important. So in that toolbox, in those statutes, Act 7, Act 8, there's a Metropolitan Districts Act, there's a series of these things. The legislature probably could make those a little bit easier to use in some respects. And there has been, give credit where credit's due, there has been some good improvement on those over the last few years. But probably more could be done in that direction to make it a little bit easier for people to collaborate. There's still more collaboration that could happen. That would kind of give us a little time or runway.
Breathing room to fix
the bigger problem. The bigger problem is the way in which we fund local governments in this state just doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. And it is time for a more serious look at what is it that we expect local government to do and what do we think is an appropriate amount of money that we want to spend on the services that we want and adjust our system so that if that means we have to release some of the brakes in some places, okay, that's one approach. Can we enable some additional authority for people to control their own revenues? You know, that's another avenue. But I think there are plenty of really smart people in the state on both sides of the aisle that have thought about this. And I think it's probably past due that we have a serious conversation about how do we really restructure the model, because it's not going to get better. Yeah, we might as well try to fix it while we still have plenty of opportunity.
Mike McGee is Principal and Chief Executive Officer of Miller Canfield, with a special area of expertise in public finance. Thank you for sharing a lot of insights into the toolbox and also where our municipalities find themselves today, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.